by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Your darling son, Jesus. Father, we don't fight with the world and the pseudo-religious to talk about what day we ought to celebrate, but we celebrate since we don't know what day. We celebrate it every day. But we commemorate this day to come together and worship you, to give you glory, to praise you, for you alone are worthy. And Father, we thank you right now for our families. We thank you, Lord, for our friends. We thank you, Lord God, that you've given us another opportunity to come together again. We thank you. Now, Father, as we've come, we've worshiped, we've praised to you. We ask, God, that we continue in the flow of your spirit and that you speak a word to us through me. Lord, give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. Let my mind be set on you, and let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer, and the hearts of the hearers be the tablet in which it shall write upon the word of faith that brings health, healing, and deliverance, peace, and joy to those that hear and believe it. We thank you, God. We thank you for your love and grace. We thank you for your kindness and mercy. We thank you, Lord God, for your word. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Lord. And after you've done all you want to do, after you've healed, delivered, set us free, lifted us high, rebuke the devourer for our sake, we thank you. And Lord, we'll join with the many winged seraphim, the many eyed cherubim, and chant and declare one to another that you are holy. You are holy, God. You are holy. And your glory fills the earth. And we thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's good to see your face in the place. Amen. Good to see that you didn't decide that on Christmas morning. My nephew said on last night, Pastor Brad Holden, he said, we just need to post on Facebook for those of you who decide that you don't want to go to church tomorrow because it's Christmas, you ain't saved. he was just teasing. But that is why we come to church on Christmas morning. Amen. Because it is Christ's Mass. Amen. Amen. Would you please go with me, grab your Bible, and go with me to the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Chapter 1. It's good to see my nephews and my sister-in-law in the house. Amen. We love you guys. Amen. Just to all of you, my father's children, to the music ministry, the ministers, deacons, deaconesses, my wife, family, friends, grace for my father and peace, and let his peace be multiplied unto you in Jesus' name. Amen. When you have the gospel according to St. Matthew, we'll just stand and we'll look at chapter 1 and we'll start reading at verse number 18. This is our Christmas message on this morning to go by. Amen. When you have chapter 1, verse 18, and you're ready, say, I have the word and I'm ready to receive it. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. As his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. Amen. The grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Amen. I want to use for a thought, title, topic for this message this morning. Simple. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Amen. How many believe that he saves? Amen. I believe it because he saved me. Amen. And I hope that you can attest to the same thing that I can, to say that he lives and he saved you also. Amen. Now, when we look at the gospel according to St. Matthew, this is a gospel that is written, first of all, to the Jews, to the people who were of Jewish descent, or those that were of the lineage of Abraham. This the gospel of St. Matthew happens to be written by one from the priesthood by the name of Levi, but his worldly name is Matthew because he was a tax collector. He took upon him a name, a Roman name, because he worked for the Roman government. Amen. Matthew being a Levite, it was just his name being Levi, and he being of the priesthood of the lineage of Levi, it just seemed right for him to write unto the people that the people of God, the people that were of the lineage of Abraham, because it was the priest and the scribes that actually gave the word of God to the people. Amen. And so here it is, he's writing, and he opens up with the generations of Jesus Christ. And I know that to many of us, it is not important for us to really get to know what it says there in chapter 1 with all these names and who begot who and stuff like that. But it was important to the Jew because he had to prove that Jesus came in the lineage that he was supposed to come in. That he had to prove that Jesus was of the seed of David, because the Messiah was going to have to come through David's lineage. Amen. And so he had to prove that. But not only that, it is also there so that we may understand and know that Jesus himself had to be begotten. Amen. In other words, all of us at some point in time, the Bible speaks about even Jesus being God, being the Christ that he was, had to be put under governors and tutors. He had to grow up. He had to be put in a family. He had to come up as a regular person. Amen. And so all I'm trying to say is that sometimes we have to make sure that we are begotten spiritually. And what I'm saying here is that there ought to be somebody in your life that have imparted into your life, that have talked to you, that have helped you along the way, that have helped you through your born again process or your salvific experience. Somebody who has been a spiritual father or a spiritual parent to you, to mold you, to shape you, to get you in the right direction. Now, I know some people say, well, you know what? I get saved and I believe in God and I'm saved. Don't nobody need to tell me nothing. I can go where I want to go, do what I want to do. That's not so. The Bible tells us that we are, that God gives us pastors after his own heart, or according to his heart, so that we may be taught, so that we may be guided in the right direction. Come on and say amen there. And so here it is now. It's up to the point here where the Bible begins to talk about the birth of Jesus Christ, which is why we make commemorate this day, or we use it to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Amen. Now, there's a controversy of when he was born, and talk, you know, you talk to some people who are really, really pseudo-religious. They, you know, well, that's not the day, and all of y'all celebrating, and, you know, that's pagan and stuff like that. Well, I'm just going to celebrate him because I know him, and I celebrate him because I know that he was born, that he lived, that he hung, bled, died. I celebrate him regardless of what you think and when you think we ought to celebrate him. I don't have to be told when to celebrate him because I celebrate him anytime I get ready. Amen. I celebrate him because every day that he gives me, I wake up in the morning, I'm celebrating him, because not only did he give me the day, but the Bible tells me that he gave me new mercies this morning. Amen. And so I need to celebrate him, if nothing else, for the mercy that he gave me this morning, that he gave me something. Oh, come on and say amen here. He gave me something that I didn't deserve. Amen. He gave me something. I wish I had somebody in here that realized that God not only gave you grace, but he gave you mercy. Mercy is when you get what you do. What God said, well, I'm not going to give you what you really deserve, but I'm going to give you what you don't deserve. Amen. And I'm going to give you another chance at this. And this morning when I rose, I was thankful that he gave me another opportunity and another chance to give God some praise. Amen. And so he says now, after he talks about the generations, and you know, generations are important. That's why we ought to be thinking about our next generation. We ought to be thinking about what we're going to leave them with. We ought to be thinking about what kind of example we are for our generation behind us. Amen. Too many times you find that a generation of people who forgot about God, who decided that God wasn't the way and they wanted to do something else, their children become even more evil than they are. They may not seem to be evil, but then the generation after them, that is where the evil plays out. And that's why it is important for us to make sure our children understand who God is and that they understand that Jesus Christ is the only way. Amen. That he is the only way. And the reason I say the only way is because there are many people out there that says that he is one of the ways, that he is something like the way, that he is maybe a prophet or he's a good man or whatever, or maybe he was an angel. No, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? And so we must understand that the only way to the Father is by Jesus. And so Jesus was born into this world. Now, verse 18 says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now here it is. Joseph is a real hero. I want to tell you why, because Joseph, when we look at Joseph, he was a called man. There's no way that you can put up and do what Joseph did and not be called. Because Joseph goes to marry a woman who's already pregnant and he hadn't touched her. Amen. Amen. Now, how many of us, come on, men, just be honest, by a show of hands would have said, it's all right, you're pregnant, I'm still going to marry you. I'm waiting to see. Waiting to see who I'm going to have to call to the altar, because you know you wouldn't do it. You're going to ask, who is the baby for? Now, where you been? I saw Leroy pass by here. Y'all get it in a minute. You know, we would have been upset. We would want to do some stuff that we shouldn't have done. But Joseph, being a called man, had good character. Because he said, you know what, instead of me stoning Mary, instead of me having to give her the death penalty for what she did, I'm just going to put her away privately. That says a whole lot about his character. We as men and women, we ought to make sure that we have good character. We ought to make sure our character is right. And how? What is character? Character is when we care how we act. I ought to care how I act in public. I ought to care how I act in front of my children. I ought to care how I act in front of the people. Amen? And so when we have good character, that means I care how I act. And Joseph had good character, and it was not only in the public, but it was in private, because he decided, instead of me, he really liked Mary, but she did something. He thought that she did something that she shouldn't. And he said, you know what? Instead of me just putting her away to death, I'm just going to privately, I'm not going to embarrass her. I'm not going to drag her before the court. I'm not going to drag her before the Sanhedrin. I'm just going to put her away privately. Nobody will know it. And then she can go and have her baby and live happily ever after. But then something happened to Joseph, because he was a called man, that he had good character and he was full of compassion. Look at that. We got to make sure that we're full of compassion too. We got to make sure that, what is compassion? It's love. We got to make sure that we have the love of God. And when we have the love of God, we can do what God wants us to do. Many times the reason why we cannot do the things that God wants us to do is because we don't really love him. We don't have his love. Amen. And when we don't have his love, we can't do the things that God wants us to do, because we got an evil heart. We got our own ambitions. We got stuff. We can't even look at people straight. We got to look at them as an opportunity. preach. We got to look at them and see what we can get out of them because we don't have the love of God. When we have the love of God, you can forgive the people that seemingly hurt you. When you have the love of God, you can look at them and say, you know, I forgive you. I may not forget everything that you've done, and I know what you're capable of. Come on and say amen, but I forgive you. Anybody know some people that are capable of hurting you and capable of doing some stuff, but you know what? You say, I forgive you, but I'm not going to just let you do me any kind of way, but I still love you. Come on and say amen here. And when you have the love of God, you're able to turn the other cheek. You're able to give your enemy water when he's thirsty and bread when he's hungry and not say, you know, I did you a favor. No, you do it as unto the Lord, because when you do it as unto the Lord, you won't look for them to do it back. The Bible says that we ought to do unto others as we would have them do unto us, not that the way that they did you, you do them back. Oh, we go tit for tat. Come on and say amen. But we have to have the love of God. Joseph was a man of compassion. He didn't look at Mary and say, Mary, because you got pregnant on me, I'm going to get somebody pregnant on you. He didn't do that. But he had what? Compassion. He had good conduct. Amen. Let's read a little further. He says, it says that she was found with the child of the Holy Ghost. Now, Joseph didn't know that this was of the Holy Ghost as of yet. But then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, look, we got to understand something. We don't want to be just a man. We want to be a just man. Tell somebody, be a just man. Don't be just a man. Be a just man. See, because anybody could be just a man. Just a man is what get us in trouble. Just a man, look, come on and say amen. Just a man looks at all those dress tails. I'm just a man. You know how we make an excuse for being just a man? I don't have but one or two witnesses in here, but that's all right. You know how it is, we do stuff just and say, you know, I'm just a man. I put on my pants one leg at a time. I'm just a man. Instead of saying I'm just a man, say I'm a just man. I'm going to do it just right. I'm going to live by faith and do what God wants me to do, because the just shall live by faith. Amen. Can I get a gift from you this morning? Can I get a few of y'all to say amen as a Christmas gift? Hey, all right, there we go. Amen. That's all I'm at, just a gift. Just say amen every now and then. That'll be your gift to me. Let me know you're alive. And so here it is, Joseph, he being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. So he had good conduct, good character. He was a good man, a just man. But verse 20 said, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Now look at this. This bothered Joseph so much that Joseph was in his bed thinking about it. You know how you got stuff that bother you that you go to bed with it on your mind? I prayed, but I still get in the bed and I'm worried about it. I prayed, but I still get in the bed and the last thing I'm thinking about is the first thing I'm thinking about when I wake up. You know how that is. You know, you got stuff that bothers you. And, you know, this had to be bothering Joseph because while he thought on it. But, you know, one thing I love about this text is that while he was thinking about it, God knew what he was thinking. Now, that goes to show you got to watch what you think, because God knows your thoughts. He knows what's going on in your heart. He knows what intentions you might have, and so we must be careful of our thoughts. That's why the Bible said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the what? Pulling down of strongholds. And so what happens is we have to put away every vain, what? Imagination, every thought, every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. All of those things, we must put them down. And the reason why we must put them out of our mind is because Satan uses our mind, and our mind becomes a battleground for him to put ideas in. And you know, you have to be careful, because every idea you have in your head is not your idea. Now, we get mad with people because they don't agree with our idea, but your idea may be demonic. I'm just telling you, because everything that comes through your mind don't always come from God. And it's not bred always on good intentions, because Satan wants, he'll put an idea in your mind. And you know, you ever ask your child, now why you did that? And he said, you know why he said that? Because he didn't really think about doing it until Satan put it in his mind to get him in trouble. And so when you give him a spanking, you need to say, see, you need to get that devil out of your mind. But anyway, we got to understand that everything, we can't defend every thought. Because Joseph had a thought to do something, but God said, that's not what I want you to do. The reason is God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. We need to be trying to find his thoughts. How do I know what God thinks about something? I need to go to his letter. I need to go to his word. And what he thinks about it is written right here in these pages. I wish I had somebody. Now, when people try to belittle the word of God and they try to put down the Bible, you need to tell them, look, these are God's thoughts. This is what he thought over the years about certain things. And I don't believe that God's thinking has changed. The Bible said God is the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. Amen. And so here it is, Joseph. Joseph is thinking on these things, but then the Bible says the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, your son of David. Look, God knows exactly where he come from. He know what family you in. God doesn't forget. God knows exactly. Out of all the Josephs that were in Nazareth, out of all that, God knew exactly who he was. See, we got to tell God every little detail, you know, and when we pray this long prayer telling God, you know, God already know what you're going to pray before you open your mouth to pray it. God already know what you're going to say. And so he tells him, he says, Joseph, he says, thy son of David, fear not to take thy wife, Mary, for thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And so all God did was confirm what Mary had already told him. Mary said, look, Joseph, I don't know how this happened, but it was God. It was the Holy Spirit. And so what happened was now God said, I need to speak to Joseph, because sometimes when people don't believe you, God need to speak to them. Amen. And so whenever you don't get them to believe and go along with you, say, God, you hear, you know, and let God do the talking. Amen. And so God spoke to Joseph and he said, the thing that she got in her, he said, don't be afraid to marry her. Don't be afraid of what people might say about you. You go ahead and marry her anyway. Don't you know that people had to be whispering? She ain't even married yet, and she 3-4 months pregnant. I see a baby bump. You know, people had to be talking about her. You know how it would be in our neighborhood, in our community. They would have had her all on topics. Amen. They would have had her all on Facebook. They would have been all on Twitter talking about her and about what she had done to Joseph. But Joseph is a fool, because he married this woman. You know how Joseph's family would have got all over him. But Joseph, God was telling him, he said, don't worry about that. Don't fear what's going to happen, but go ahead and marry her. Yeah. And so he said, this thing which she has conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sin. That is the heart of the message today. She shall bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. Let me just read the rest of it so I can get through here. His name shall be called Jesus. He'll save his people from their sins. Verse 22. Now all that was done, and it might be fulfilled that was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. Don't you know that God will, he'll make sure that if he said it, he's going to fulfill it. We worry about how God's going to do something. If God said it, don't worry about it. If God said it, you can bank on it. If God said it, you ain't got to try to finagle. You ain't got to try to manipulate. You ain't got to try to make it happen. It will happen. I wish I had somebody that believed that. It will happen. You know, tell somebody that whenever God says something, God will make sure he's going to watch over his word to perform his word. You don't have to perform his word. The Bible tells us that God performs his own word. Do you think that God needed your help in order to put the stars in the sky, in order to put the moon where it is and the sun where it is? No, he didn't need your help then, and he don't need our help now. All he needs us to do is just obey and watch him work. Come on and say amen. So he says now, he says that in verse number 23, the prophet said, behold, a virgin shall come forth with a child and bring forth a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, being interpreted, God with us. And Joseph raised from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and he knew her not till she brought forth the firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Now look at this. When we look at what Jesus' name reveals, the Bible says that his name shall be called Jesus. So his name reveals who he is. I want you to know who he is today. If his name reveals who he is, his name means Jehovah. Jehovah is salvation. His name means Yahweh is salvation, means God is salvation. He is our salvation. Now, when we talk about salvation, many times we forget that salvation is not just us being saved from going to hell. Because that's what we put more emphasis on, because we've been saved, we ain't got to go to hell now. But salvation is more than just not going to hell. Salvation is living in an abundant life. Salvation is being healed from your sickness. Salvation is being delivered from whatever the enemy has you caught in. Amen. You heard the testimony of the brother this morning, and he was telling us how God delivered him. God delivers all of us, and he does it in his time. You know, I found out something, that when I first got baptized and believed in the Lord, that I wasn't totally delivered from everything that I was going to be bound up in. But I found out that as time went by, God showed me that he was a deliverer. And every time I got into something, God brought me out. I wish I had somebody. But I didn't even know how faithful God was until I found out that each time I did something, God said, I'm faithful and just to forgive you. Come on and say amen. Now, that ain't, can't nobody do that but God. Even the Pharisees say, who has power to forgive sins but God? And so it reveals his name. It reveals who he is. And so I realized that God, whenever I wanted to know something else about God, God had to let me go through something so I'd really know. Because grandmother told me that he'll be a bridge over troubled water, but I didn't know it until I got in trouble. Preach. Oh yeah, God, I didn't know that he would be a friend to the friendless, but I didn't know that. So God allowed my friends to turn on me, and I found out that if I didn't have nobody else on my side, I still have Jesus. He'll stick closer than any brother. Do I have any witnesses in here this morning? I found out that I didn't know that he was a healer. I heard that he was a doctor that has never lost a patient, that he'll be a doctor in the sick room, but I didn't know until I got sick, and I found out that it wasn't the hospital that helped me and the doctor that diagnosed me, but it was God himself that was able to give me healing. And I found out this, that he is not really a doctor, because he does not have to practice medicine. When you're a doctor, you practice medicine, but when you are a healer, you can speak a word and healing happens. And so I found out that he heals me by his word. I wish I had somebody here. And so I found out who he is, and so his name reveals who he is. But not only does his name reveal who he is, but his name also reveals, he says that his name reveals what he will do. The Bible says that he will save his people from their sin. I know that we got some stuff that we do. I know we got some a whole bunch of sin that we commit, and we try to say, you know what, I don't feel worthy and stuff like that. But God tells us in Romans, he tells us that don't let your heart condemn you. He tells us that God is greater than our heart. He said, there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And we can't allow our heart to be condemned, because Jesus paid the price. What are you saying? I'm saying that he forgot all of your sin. I know that somebody's struggling with what you did last year. You're struggling with how bad off you were last year and what you did. But you know what? Don't worry about that. You just need to give those things to God. The Bible said that he will forgive your sin and cast them in the sea of forgiveness, and he will remember them no more. And I know people want to remember what you did, but God don't remember what you did. God don't remember, because he wants to love you. He wants to have compassion on you, and he wants to treat you as his very own. I wish I had somebody. There's a story that was told of a young lady that was in South America, and she said that she heard God. She talked to God. Amen. She kept saying that I'm talking to God, and so the people in the village stopped going to the church, and they start coming over to her house, and she would talk about, you know, what God said. And so the priest went to the bishop, and he said, this lady got folks going to her house, and she's saying that she hear from God and God is talking to her. And the bishop said, oh, does she say that? Yes, she says it. He said, okay, well, ask her, what did I say in my last confession when I talked to God? And so he said, okay, I'll ask her. He said, we'll prove that God hadn't talked to this woman. And so the priest went to her. He said, the bishop wants you to ask God, since you say you talked to him, what was it that he said in his last confession? and whenever he talked to God. And she said, okay, give me a day or two. I'm going to ask God when I talk to him, and I'll let you know. And so the woman went, she talked to God, and she came back and she told the priest. She said, priest, she said, you go tell the bishop, God said he don't remember. I wish I had somebody. Why? Because in confession, you confess your faults. You confess your sins. And so God don't remember after you've confessed them. God said, I put them in the sea of forgiveness, and I don't remember them anymore, and they won't ever come back up against you. I wish I had somebody in here today that said, I've been confessing my sin, and I'm so glad today that this stuff won't come back up against me. This stuff won't come back up to her. Oh, Lord, have mercy. So the Bible says, now he says that his name reveals not only who he is and what he will do, but it reveals